John chapter 14, verse 27. It's our text today. I'm going to preach a little bit. I've already been preaching a little, but God's good. God's good. You can stay standing. You can stay in the altar. You can return to your seats, whatever you want to do. But I feel like God wants to do a work here today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. John 14, 27. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Somebody needs to hear that today. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. Let not your heart be troubled. Oh, but I'm worried about the country, and I'm worried about the church, and I'm worried about my family. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Somebody needs to stand on the word of God and say, in what time I would be afraid, in what time I'd be worried, I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to stand on His word. I'm going to believe His promises. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm thankful for the peace of God. I'm going to just use the words of Jesus today. I give you peace. I give you peace. And here's what I feel. Somebody today, you've been wondering, I'm a child of God. Why don't I have peace? Why don't I have peace? Why am I so troubled? Why am I so burdened? Why am I so worried? The Bible talks about peace. I'm a child of God. Why don't I have peace? And the enemy comes on top of that. And says, oh yeah, if you are who you say you are, then why don't you have peace? Why are you dealing with fear and anxiety and worry? And why is all of this pressure there? And the enemy wants to try to make you think, well, maybe I'm not saved, and maybe I don't have victory, and maybe I'm not living the way God wants me to live. But I've come to tell somebody today that in spite of the pressure, in spite of your circumstance, in spite of what's going on in the world today, God can give you peace in the middle of your situation. He can give you peace in spite of what you're going through. Come on, does anybody want to stand on the word of God today and say, God, I need that peace in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I give you peace. God bless you. You may be seated. If anything is lacking in our world today, it's peace. Everywhere in society, there's tension, hostility. People are aggressive, combative. Our world is in a total state of discord. Everybody is under pressure. Stress, anxiety. To many, they're constant companions. The struggle of everyday life can be so overwhelming. And yet when we read our Bible, it says we're to have peace. Surely I'm not the only one that's ever questioned, where is the peace that's promised me as a Christian? And if I can find that peace, will it be enough to offset all the chaos and confusion around us? The Apostle Paul, he assures us that the peace of God is enough. He said in Philippians 4 and 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The peace of God, which passeth all understanding. That means it surpasses everything we can understand. The peace of God exceeds our understanding. We don't understand how we can have peace in the middle of everything we're going through. It's beyond our understanding. Oh, the peace of God, though, it's enough to keep us. And Paul is writing to the church in Philippi while he's a prisoner of Rome. He's awaiting execution. And while he's in that state, he tells the church in Philippi, he says, the peace of God is enough for whatever you're facing. I want to tell you, this peace is not just a fleeting feeling here for a moment and then gone. No, it is a solid assurance that God is with us. He's guiding us. He's protecting us. He's keeping us. I can remember about 15 years ago, we went on a family vacation and had a great time. But after you spend a week or two in a car with four kids fighting and complaining and saying, are we there yet? And he's touching me and, okay, there's the line right there. He crossed the line and you know all of that. Some of you been there. After a week or two on vacation, I needed a vacation. And I had developed some type of cold or sinus infection or something. Go to the doctor and so, I'm going to give you this little medicine here, this little steroid pack and this is going to take you, you're going to feel great. And after the first day on that, something happened and I had a reaction to that and I got so ramped up on that steroid pack. And he said, well, you can't stop the steroid pack now. You got to keep taking it. Got to finish it out, you know. Oh, I went another day and took it. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't think straight. I was so anxious. I was almost shaking and I thought, what in the world has got a hold of me? Yeah, it was something, and I probably did get some sleep at night, but it felt like I was awake all night long. Seven nights. In my mind, I thought I hadn't got one wink of sleep in 7 nights. Now, probably I got a little bit here and there, and finally the doctor, about the third day, he said, okay, just stop it. This isn't working. Stop it. And my blood pressure was shooting up and all of this, and I thought, what in the world's going on? And I'd wake up early, and I'd get up early in the morning. I thought, okay, I got to have some. I got to go walk. I got to walk this off. I got to do something. I got to drink some water. And all of this was flooding my mind, and all the pressures of life and all the things that just started piling on. What I didn't understand was it was a spirit of fear. It was a spirit of fear that got a hold of my life and got a hold of my mind and anxiety and turmoil and trouble. And then I'm thinking about the bills and I'm thinking about the pressures of life and I'm thinking of all the stuff I got to do and all the resources I don't have that I need. Come on, some of you are parents today and you know what I'm talking about, because sometimes it's just like the enemy comes in like a flood. And you've got pressures of life, and you got pressures of money, and you got pressures in your family, and the kids are sick, and there's all kinds of stuff that's going on, and you wonder, how can I ever face all of these different things at one time? I'm overwhelmed. And I had to learn that I've got to trust in the Lord. I've got to stand on His word. I've got to believe His promises. Come on, I've come to tell somebody today, you're not going to find peace in this world. You're not going to find comfort and relaxation in this life. But if you learn to get in the word of God, if you learn to trust His word and His spirit, God is going to give you peace in the middle of what you're going through. I can't help but feeling like all the pressure is getting to someone here today. The pressures of life, the pressures and internal pressure, external pressure, spiritual pressure. And the enemy's telling you, you'll never have peace. You'll never be able to relax. You'll never have comfort. I want to tell you today, even through the pressures of life, God may not deliver you from all the pressure, but in the middle of the pressure, in spite of the pressure, you can have peace. I've come to tell somebody that the peace of God, it's beyond your understanding. and it will keep you no matter what you're going through. Oh, hear me today. There's enough people in the world that are losing their mind. They're losing their mind. They're numbing themselves down because they just can't cope with life. And there's too many hearts that are troubled, and they're looking for the answers in all the wrong places. And the reason why they're losing their mind, the answer to why their heart is troubled, it is the absence of the peace of God. And when they don't have that peace, it does not act as a guard over their heart and over their mind. What we need more than anything else today is that the peace of God would keep our heart and our mind through Christ Jesus. I believe God wants us to have a new understanding of the peace that He has given us. I preached a few weeks ago about the will of God. The will of God. The thoughtful people are making wills every day. They want their wishes to be honored after they pass on. When we want to know the will of God for our life, we have to read His will. His last will and testament. And that's it, it's right here. And we find out what He's promised us. And we get in His word and we find out what His will is for our life and our situation. We've probably all heard of situations where someone was named in a will, but for whatever reason, they're totally unaware of what was promised to them. You ever heard of stories like that? Maybe they're the last living relative of some rich person somewhere, and until they're found, all of that good fortune is just sitting there. While they just keep on struggling and misery, and if they just knew what had been left to them, their life would no doubt be much more pleasant. Is it possible today that we have been included in a will and we're just not aware of what has been left to us? Could it be that in the midst of the pressure we're under, with all the anxiety and stress around us, there is an answer in the will of God that would make things calm and quiet and peaceful? Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Can we quiet our spirit enough here today that we can hear the word of the Lord through all the noise, to listen to the voice of Jesus as He speaks to each one of us and says, "I give you peace. I give you peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." With everything in our life, when it seems like it's less than wonderful, then we remember the one who saved us, that his name is called Wonderful. When we need advice and counsel, He is our counselor. When we need strength, He truly is the Mighty God. When we're overwhelmed by temporary things in life, we cannot forget that He is the Everlasting Father. And when the storm around us is raging, let us always remember Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. If anybody can give you peace, how about the Prince of Peace? If anybody can calm your troubled soul, how about the Prince of Peace? Lord, I need your peace today. Hallelujah. Peace. Peace. He came to bring peace. When His time on earth was finished, He said, I leave peace with you. Peace I give unto you. The peace of the world depends on outward circumstances. Sure, if circumstances are great, people who don't know Jesus, they can have a measure of peace. If everything's going good, people in the world, they can have a measure of peace. But we all know circumstances change. And rainy days come. And trouble, it happens to us all. And there's some days when just everything's not right. And that's when this world's peace fades away. It's not permanent. It's just temporary. It's not lasting. But Jesus said the peace he gives us is not as this world gives. His peace does not depend on the conditions around us. It still works in adversity. It still remains in hardships and even in suffering. If you will study medieval times, castles were built to provide protection from potential invasions. There are some amazing castles still standing in Europe and other places, giving us some real insight into history. Many of these castles were built with what was called a tower keep. A tower keep. It was a tower building within the walls, and it was several stories high. It was built with especially thick walls and a very well-defended entrance, making it the safest place in the castle when under attack. Typically, the basement of the keep was used for storing food and weapons and equipment. And there was usually also a deep water well. It was a deep well that would provide drinking water in case of an extended siege. If the people of a castle depended on outside sources, they would be at the mercy of an enemy who could cut off their water supply. But the enemy had no power to force surrender when there was a well on the inside. And like a castle with a well that's deep within, those who have been born again, we are not supposed to be the victims of our circumstances. Those things going on around us, those issues on the outside. Oh, the trouble is there, yes, on the outside. But our peace depends on something that's inside of me. It's Jesus Christ. And that kind of peace cannot be taken away by the enemy. As long as I stay focused on the peace of Jesus Christ, whatever's happening on the outside, it will not defeat me. Isaiah 26:3 declares, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Perfect peace. Peace. Perfect peace. In Hebrew, if you study that out, that term perfect peace, it's actually shalom, shalom. Shalom, shalom. In Hebrew, you communicate intensity by repeating something. So this is not just a little peace. It's not just ordinary peace. No, this is shalom, shalom, perfect peace. There's a double protection of the peace of God. And he speaks to us through the worst things we could ever face. And he says, peace, peace. If one isn't enough, he'll give you two. And if two isn't enough, he'll give you three or four or whatever it takes. Because it's perfect peace. It's perfect peace. He keeps us in perfect peace when our mind is stayed on him. Perfect peace is not so much a matter of the body. It's not a matter of our spirit. It's not a matter of our heart. It's a matter of the mind. It's a matter of the mind. We're to love the Lord our God with all our mind. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We can have the mind of Christ. We're not to set our mind on earthly things, but on things above. Yes, it's the battlefield of the mind. It's not just about what we do. It's not just about what we experience and what we have happened to us. It's about what we think about. It's about what we think about, what goes on between our ears. That's what will determine our success or failure in our walk with God. And we're kept in perfect peace when our mind is stayed on Him. That word stayed, it comes from the Hebrew word psalmak, which means to prop, to lean, to stand fast, to sustain. What is it that sustains our mind? What is it that our mind is established on? What does our mind lean upon? What are we holding to? For us to have this perfect peace, our mind, it can't just occasionally lean on the Lord. It's not just propping up our mind on the Lord every once in a while, but our mind has to be stayed on Him. If our mind is stayed on ourselves or on our problems or the issues of life, if our mind is stayed on anything else, we can't have this perfect peace. But when we say every day, I'm going to trust in the Lord, I'm going to think about His goodness, I'm going to get up and I'm going to sing a song of worship and praise, I'm going to get up and I'm going to start by thanking the Lord for another day, I'm going to get up and I'm going to praise Him in spite of all the trouble I'm going through, I'm going to say, Lord, You're good and Your mercy endureth forever. Lord, You're worthy of my praise. You're worthy of my worship. I know I've got to face some trouble today, but Lord, You're still on the throne and I'm going to keep my mind stayed on You. When people are struggling to find peace and you ask them, well, what have you been thinking about? What has been occupying your mind? And you find out all sorts of things that are opposed to the mind of Christ. Movies with murder and violence and sex. It's hard to find a movie without it today. TV shows about homicide and rape and abuse. Video games with themes that are not godly. Books with witchcraft. Oh, it's just innocent. No, it's keeping your mind stayed on something that's other than Jesus Christ. It's a door open to the enemy to steal, to come right in and steal the peace from your life. Well, it's not, you know, that I'm actually going out and doing it, but it's putting it in your mind. Where do you think that some of these that are committing these horrible atrocities and horrible crimes, where did they get the idea? Well, it was put in their mind by the enemy that showed them a movie or got to them in a video game or something. It was able to put it in their mind. Or what about the person who's been so preoccupied with thinking about the person who hurt them? They spend every waking hour dreaming about how to get back at the person who said this or did that. And they've got bitterness in their heart and it's consuming their mind. It's not hurting the person who hurt them. That person's moved on to other stuff. They're out hurting somebody else now. They may not even know what they did to us, but it's playing over and over in our mind, and it's robbing us of the peace that God wants us to have. Somebody today, you need to give it to the Lord. You need to give it to God. You need to say, God, this is plaguing my mind. This is rolling over and over and over again in my mind. I've got to give it to You, Jesus. Lord, take it from me. Lord, take it. I've got to have Your peace. It's more. It's more to me than holding on to this today. The enemy of our soul is working continually to rob us of peace. The Bible talks about how he's the accuser of the brethren. He accuses us day and night. In the end, he will be cast down And that is going to cease. But until then, he will remind us of every failure, every time we've fallen, everything we're ashamed of in our past. Guilt and shame are powerful enemies of peace. The thing is, we are guilty. Guilty as charged. We did it. We did it. We can't run from that. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sometimes you just got to admit, yeah, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I did it. But the enemy wants us to be caught up focusing on our past rather than the power of the blood of Jesus Christ that covers our past. Some of you here today, your mind is bombarded with the memories and the thoughts and the guilt and the shame of all the junk that you used to do and all the things that you used to be involved in. But you've got to realize Jesus Christ shed his blood to cover your sin, to wash your sin away, to make you a new creature. That's why Jesus came, to free us of our past. And I just can't have peace, Pastor, because I can't stop thinking about all the stuff I've done, and I can't even forgive myself. Well, Jesus has forgiven you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The enemy wants to rob you of peace by bringing condemnation. It's one thing if we have sin in our life and the Lord is reaching for you and you feel conviction. That's the presence of the Lord that's saying, hey, I need to go to an altar. I need to make some things right. I need to stop doing the stuff I'm doing. I need to turn away. I need to repent. But if we've left all that behind and now we're trying our best to live in victory, we've got to realize that it's been covered by the blood of Jesus. And if the enemy's trying to bring it back up, if he's trying to resurrect something that the Lord already covered with his blood, that's condemnation. That's not conviction. And you need to say, no, Jesus Christ has forgiven me, devil. And I'm not going back to what I used to be. I'm going forward in victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sometimes people, they're not able to move on from their past, but in God's eyes, it's already been covered by the blood. It's as if it never even happened to the Lord. Just read Psalm 103 and 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. You go as far as you can to the west, and you go as far as you can to the east, and you keep on going till you reach the end. You'll never reach the end. That's how far he has removed your sin from you. Don't let the devil use what God has already removed to bring you down, to keep you from having victory. Don't let him bring that up every day in your life and rob you of the peace that God wants you to have. You need to know today, if you have repented, God has forgiven you. Now, if we're still caught up in sin, we need deliverance. Maybe we truly haven't repented of it. Maybe we've not really turned away from it. We need to find a prayer room, and we need to stay there until something dies in us, until something is changed, until something breaks. Have you ever been in a prayer room where maybe you started out and you didn't feel much and nothing was really moving, but you kept praying and said, God, I've got to have you. I've got to have you to work in my life. I've got to have you to move in me. And all of a sudden, it was like something broke inside of you, and the tears started to come. And all of a sudden, there was a change, and you weren't just worried about everybody else that was around you because you realized something had just changed inside of you, and God was moving, and he was working. Amen. When that happens, there's a breaking that's going on in us so that God can put the pieces back together the right way. There's something inside of us that's dying out on an altar because it doesn't need to live anymore. Not if we're going to live and be who God has called us to be. Come on, somebody. If you need to lay sin down, you get to an altar of prayer and you keep praying and you keep trusting God until something breaks. How many people today are they so desperate for peace? But anxiety has robbed them of that gift of God. This world is filled with uncertainty. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But we do know who holds tomorrow. When we learn to trust Jesus Christ, all of the uneasiness fades away. There is literally a spirit of fear that will do its best to attach itself to our life. And it looks for any way in. Any door that's cracked. Any window that's left open. And when something fearful happens, maybe it just catches us by surprise from somewhere, but if we open ourselves up to that, fear will come in and find a foothold in our life. And we can never truly find peace because of that spirit of fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 declares, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." God has not given us the spirit of fear. So where did it come from? The enemy of our soul. The purpose of the spirit of fear is to rob us of peace. God did not give us fear, but what did he give us? Peace. He said, "I give you peace. My peace I give to you." Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Some of you know a little bit about my history. About 3 months ago, had a stress test, was having some complications and some symptoms, and doctor said, "Well, let's check it out." And so I wasn't real worried about it, but something was wrong, abnormal in the stress test. And then they said, "Well, we better check it out a little further." So they went in, did a heart cath, and I was thinking, you know, we'd be in there and out, and we were in there and out fast because they couldn't fix what they found. And come out, and I'm, you know, on all this medicine, so I don't really quite know what's going on, but they said, "Well, we found 3 blockages, and you're going to have surgery. We can't fix this here like this. You're going to have open heart surgery." And you want to talk about fear? Pressure. What? I'm not even 50 yet, you know? And so we talked to the doctor. "Well, you can get a second opinion," all that. And so went in a period of waiting and wondering what to do. And I'm not wanting to talk about me, but I'm just trying to tell you, I know what you're going through. And I'd read this scripture. When you read this here today, when you read it, it talks about how the birds of the air, they don't go plant crops. They don't have to schedule the harvest. The Lord takes care of them. "Are ye not much better than they?" And I can remember sitting on the back porch, my mind clouded with fear and trouble, and a little hummingbird would come. And come to that hummingbird feeder, and boy, they were really drinking that stuff this summer. I guess it was hot and they knew where to come. And one day I looked over there and that hummingbird feeder was empty. And I got up and I said, "Well, I'm going to take care of that." I mixed up some stuff, poured it in there, and the scripture came to me. As much as you care for that little hummingbird, God cares for you even more. God cares for you even more. God knows what you're going through. I've come to tell somebody today, you feel like And the enemy wants to tell you that God doesn't know where you're at and what you're going through and what you're feeling and what you're experiencing. But I've come to tell you, God knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly what you're going through. He understands the feelings that are pressing upon your mind, the pressure that is on your family. And even more than he takes care of the birds of the air, he's looking at your life and he's going to take care of you. I've come to preach to somebody today. You can have peace in the middle of trouble. You can have peace in the middle of a trial. You can trust God. And you read on through that. Down to verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. How can I overcome anxiety and find peace? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I tell you today, the enemy is trying his best to wreck our life. He's beating us up over our lack of peace. But I've come to tell somebody today, God has peace for you. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You need to lay guilt and shame on the altar today. And you just say, God, I need your peace. You need to take those frustrations in your life that are robbing you of peace and say, God, I'm going to trust in you. If that anxiety and that spirit of fear has gripped your mind, you need to say, God, I give it to you. I pray that you would give me peace. Lord, seek first the kingdom of God. Would you stand with me in closing today? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's all about surrender. It's all about surrender. Have I surrendered my life to the Lord? Because when we've surrendered to him, we know he's got it. He's got it. Now, if I'm still trying to hold on to everything and trying to force it to happen and make it all work out the way I want it to do, that's not surrender. If I'm still fighting against the will of God, some of you have a calling of God upon your life. God has, he has laid out a marvelous plan, but it's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take you laying down some things that you're in love with. It's going to take you saying, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And so you're in the struggle right now because there's a plan that God has for you. And you're saying, no, God, I want my plan. I want to do what I want. And God's saying, no, I'm going to have to allow you to go through some things until you get to where you need to be. If you would just surrender. Come on, somebody just throw your hands up and say, I can't do it anymore, Lord. I need you today. I'm tired of this struggle. I'm tired of this inner battle, Lord. Oh, God, I know that what you've called me to do, it's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take work. It's going to take some times, Lord, that it's not going to be fun. It's going to be hard work. But, Lord, I give myself to you because I got to have peace. When we reach that point of surrender, and no matter what comes, okay, God, you got this. You're in control, and I trust you. And I'm going to stand on your word, and I'm going to stand on your promises. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know we like to act like we're all tough and we act like, you know, we don't ever fight battles and we're not ever worried and we don't ever go to bed with pressures on our mind. We like to act like we've got it all together, but I know some of you here today, you need some peace from the Lord. I wonder if you just make your way to this altar right now and say, Lord, I surrender to your will. I surrender to your plan. Whatever you want to do in my life, Lord. God, I need you. I need you, Lord. I've got to get my mind stayed on you.